This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Okay, just to correct the name, Major General George Van Horn Moseley.
Ah, okay.
And he was also a big muckety-muck in the U.S. Army. And I guess after he was involved in the fascist movement, he was anti-Semitic, this guy. Heavily so. And he probably was drummed out of whatever position he had in the government during the Roosevelt administration. But I saw letters that his dad had written to his mom. Now, Jim's mom died when he was 19 years old. And so he lived on his trust fund. So these letters suggested that Jim, being the black sheep of the family, they wanted to send him to military boarding school. Okay, because straighten him out. You know, his dad's an old military guy. Straighten this guy out. It never happened, but you can see the kind of attitude his dad took. But he lived with his mom. I get the impression he and his father may have come to terms later in life, but they surely did not get along in the early days.
Again, major event that I remember his father being involved in from my readings of New York City history is that he was the main player at a huge pro-Nazi rally in the years before World War II at a very packed Madison Square Garden at the time. And, you know, obviously people of his ilk either backed away or left the public stage once we went to war and anti-fascism became the cause of the United States.
And Jim was so totally unlike that. He embraced everyone.
No.
He liked everyone.
He was kind and funny and humble and, you know, liked making people laugh. I used to get irregular letters from him. Postcards were the things that I got from him most, with just a line or two, all calculated, you know, to make you smile. And there is something really rather old-fashioned in a very nice way about people who don't take themselves too seriously and are willing to have a little fun at their own expense rather than other people's expense. Every once in a while, the saucer smear really would come down on somebody in the field. But more often than not, it was, you know, kind of a UFO gossipy sort of publication and very homemade looking. And most of us really, I've still got a file full of them that I haven't looked at in years, but I don't think there was anybody else quite like him. Certainly not in ufology or the early days that I'm aware of.
We were remembering Jim Moseley. Let's move on to some other topics here, Peter. It's been a while since you've been on, so I want to catch up on things. In your liner notes that you sent me, suggesting what we might talk about, you mentioned the origins of the UFO ridicule factor, something that you've investigated. And that really takes us back to, what, 1947?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they had specks before your eyes, I guess.
Among other things. Yeah, I think most people that become interested in the subject of UFOs sooner or later do start to wonder about how this otherwise simple question, I saw something in the sky that I couldn't identify, became wired up in the Western and the world mindset with, gee, you must be a mystic or a liar or a faker, or you're looking to become famous, or one of my favorites that Philip Klass came up with, a desire to feel special. It's so counterintuitive. It makes no sense at all. And it was a thought that came and went for me for years, and at a certain point, some years back, I started to think about what was it really? How did it happen? What set it in motion? Well, probably the summer of 1947 certainly set it in motion. But how did it come to pass that the American people, then the Western world, and arguably most of world culture at this point, or a good part of it, still has it wired up that, haha, flying saucers and little green men. And my serious interest in the subject began in the 1980s, and I ended up spending a lot of time back then in the New York Times newspaper morgue, the location where they kept all of the data on every issue of the New York Times that had ever been published. This is in Midtown Manhattan, and an annex of it was at the Main Branch Library on 42nd Street. The way that you found articles, because certainly in 1947, the Times was without question the most influential newspaper in the United States. And in terms of alternate media, there wasn't a lot of competition. You had NBC News under David Sarnoff, CBS News. These were radio, of course, no television yet. Other major newspaper families, the Copley family in Boston, the Hearst Syndicate, also controlling hundreds of papers in the United States and San Francisco, and a small clique of individuals. And I thought, let's see what the Times history is of this. Maybe I can draw a bead on it by seeing how one major, centrally powerful venue covered the subject. And you would go through these huge, really large, pebble-covered ledgers, and everything was cross-referenced with index numbers. There were certain terms that were go-to terms. First, it was still almost 10 years before the term unidentified flying object or UFO would be used, so didn't bother with that. Unidentified aerial disks, unidentified aerial phenomena, spaceships, and extraterrestrials. I found out fairly quickly that because of an absence of any reference to spaceships or extraterrestrials in the New York Times indexes in 1947, which I found very curious at first, until I stumbled on a references to these words. At the time, the words didn't exist. They were always two words, extraterrestrial and spaceships. And you would then copy out reference numbers from the earliest articles, editorials, letters to the editor, photo captions, what have you, bring them to the librarian, who would then give you a roll of microfiche, like that some of us are old enough to have, you know, done research subjects in high school or whatever. And you would find the article, and then you'd put a coin in, and you'd print it out. And I began to build a database that way. Other projects took over. And when I went back to the subject in the 90s, everything had been digitized. So it was quicker to locate the articles and other pieces of information. At the same time, because they were digitized, when you blew them up and printed them out, they often pixelated. So I actually relied a certain amount on the digital files anyway. And I ended up with, I don't know, like 220 separate pieces of information, from front page articles to a tiny little piece on, you know, page 23 or whatever. And I put them in order, Gene, and I read them beginning to end. And then I read them again, and then I read them again. I knew what I was looking for, and being that my training was as an artist, I was used to looking out of the box rather than in it. And I knew there must be a pattern, or there was a chance of a pattern, but if I could deduce it, maybe I could come to a conclusion. And there was a pattern, which was, I would say, to this day, it's affected being very kind to the New York Times in excess of 95% of their UFO-related coverage, a pattern where an event or a sighting is described, and then an authority, and for the first years, the authorities were quoted as astronomers, mental health professionals, scientists. Their names were never given. It was just an authority in the area of psychology has said.
And we'll go into more of this ridicule factor. with Peter Robbins and Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-281-4224. 800-281-4224. 800-281-4224. That's 800-281-4224.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Being self-reliant is about being prepared and to do what you need to have your own source of renewable energy. Portable Solar LLC offers the most powerful EMP-hardened solar system on the market that is transportable from place to place, and the best part, it's very affordable. Contact them at PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875. Sol Arc EMP-hardened solar generator, energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today or go to PortableSolarLLC.com to check out their patent-pending technology.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Yeah, Peter Robbins, and before we get back talking about his research into the morgue of the New York Times, the old gray lady, as they once referred to the Times. Now it's very heavily digitized. We have a second radio show out there, also digitized, called After the Paracast, where it can be color commentary, special interviews. We've done a lot of special interviews, extended interviews in recent weeks. And the only way for you to hear that show is to become a subscriber to the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com for more info. That's plus.theparacast.com. For a modest subscription fee, we also offer you the advertising-free version of this show. So, Peter Robbins, tell us more about the New York Times. So they're quoting so-called experts, people with titles.
Yeah. Also, editorial decisions were made that were reflected in the coverage or lack of coverage. One could say the same about any major stories breaking in any major newsroom or news venue. And the Times chose not to even begin to cover the subject, not beginning with the Kenneth Arnold sightings in Washington State on June 24th of 1947, which preceded Roswell by a week and a half, but the initial reports of a crash, a unidentified craft, possibly from parts unknown, in the vicinity of the town of Roswell, New Mexico. They didn't cover these stories, where almost every other newspaper in the country was. And they began their coverage, not without some irony, on July 4th, 1947, with an article that the Pentagon had solved the brief mystery of this report of a crash of something from who knows where in New Mexico, and that it was just a weather balloon, and that a certain military officer had confused fragments of the weather balloon with, you know, something else. Almost every article that they then published, and they were frantically publishing articles every day for months, or every few days for months, was filled with sarcasm, condescension, innuendo, the worst kind of pseudoscience, phony explanations that would make your eyes roll, but they kept clubbing away at it. And the New York Times is the New York Times, and now it is certainly still an influential newspaper, but there's a lot more news sources, most of them problematic, to put it mildly. But back then, it was, again, the most powerful, respected, influential newspaper in the United States, began publishing before the Civil War. I had thought that, in my mind, that they'd come back on and off and do it, and I saw the same type of coverage reflected increasingly in other major national news venues. I should note, and I think it's a point of real interest, that local newspapers, your village or your town newspaper that came out once a week, those papers overall treated the subject with respect, because inevitably they were talking about one of their citizens in their town or village who had reported something, who was somebody people knew, and wasn't doing it to get a laugh, but because they had seen something that, you know, was in the news and that they didn't understand, and went to their police department or wherever, and it ended up in the local newspaper. The ridicule there came the week after, in almost always a letter to the editor that, you know, Joe Blow thought he saw one of those flying saucers from Mars. But we all know that the Army Air Corps is on the case because they tell us that. And I read in the New York Times, blah, blah, blah. Again, I had thought in beginning to ponder this that they just kept up the silly news reports. We hit 1952, the Robertson panel report, which was a 4-day meeting of a CIA committee, which first discussed the idea of a two-pronged educational program, education and debunking. And for anybody that really likes language and the origin of words and things, I know that a 19th century term for saying, you know, that's just silly or that's nonsense is that's a lot of bunk. But I think the first time I have ever come upon the use of the word debunk in any publication or in any reference is in the Robertson panel report in 1952. And then things just went on and, you know, people just assumed it was nonsense. Well, the brainwashing program, the reprogramming program, the intimidation, the ridicule that was immediately drawn as a parallel to the subject. If you think they're real, then you're crazy or delusional or you want to feel special, or it was all done before the end of the summer of 1947. it was done, and it was reflected in other publications. No newspaper, no magazine, Time, Life, Newsweek, did a serious study on, wait a minute, what is this about, in 1947. If it happened, it never saw the light of day, because researchers like myself would have come upon something. It was simply wired up in the American consciousness, then the Western consciousness, that this is nonsense. And if you want to be the subject of ridicule, take it seriously and let people know. That set me to starting to think about why major news organizations made up of people, not like me, who's a self-trained investigative writer, but went to journalism school. They wanted to be reporters. They wanted to be journalists. It was in their blood, the search for the truth, to get an answer to a big question, to uncover a cover-up. That was the thing that drove these people, or should have been driving them. How is it that none of them took it upon themselves to go contrary to everybody else? And it made me begin to just apply the best deductive reasoning, critical thinking, regular logic that I could. I don't have proof that I could present as such, but more and more it became the only answer for me that publishers, in one way or another, let their editors know, that they should let their reporters know, that this was a subject that should not be taken seriously. It should not be covered as though there was a real chance that these things might in fact be what some of us feel they are. Objects from parts unknown in unimaginably high technology under the control of other intelligences from who knows where. Why would they do that? This was a great story. Well, maybe they were asked to do it. Who would have had the clout to ask them and make it happen? I deduce that there were individuals within the Truman administration, very highly placed individuals, and only a handful in a small pool of people that had President Truman's absolute trust, who may have made day trips or overnight trips from Washington to New York or Boston or San Francisco and sat down with owners and publishers who, in themselves, these were the men who controlled the media, and I say men because there were no women involved. These were the men who controlled what Americans thought, what they read, and what they assumed about the world around them.
Let's go into this manipulation of the media in our next segment with Peter Robbins. Chris O'Brien doesn't have the internet, and he can't use smoke signals. We have Peter Robbins. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
When fresh liquid whey is processed into a dry powder, the special proteins that make up the whey lose their original shapes. They fold in on themselves and lose their functional value. One World Whey undergoes a technological enhancement that we believe restores these potent proteins back to their original shapes the body can use.
I chose to try One World Whey first before going to a doctor who would likely only prescribe drugs. To my delight, it worked. After stabbing pain for years, to have it completely gone is a miracle. I'd like to also stress that, for me, it took several months of taking One World Whey before I had improvement, and then an entire year for my gut to feel 100% healed. So now I tell my friends, give your body time to make use of the healing power of One World Whey.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We're joined by Peter Robbins, kind of play catch-up on a lot of topics. As I mentioned earlier in the episode, in case you're wondering, Rendlesham is off the table. We do have a thread at our forums at the Paracast, our Paracast forums at forum.theparacast.com. It's entitled Ask Peter Robbins. There is a 28-page document you can download and get his statement. What he was telling us in the previous segment is that the government, representatives of the Truman administration, went down to the publishers of major newspapers, and they said, don't take UFOs seriously.
I said, that's what I deduce, that's what I think, that's what I believe, and that's really different than saying that it happened.
It's what you believe happened.
Yeah. I can't think of anything else, and this is something that I've been working on and off and looking at from any number of angles for years now. The thought that the biggest story of all time, potentially, breaks on the American public in 2 years after the end of World War II, not even quite, in the Japanese theater. And nobody in the American media is interested in even beginning to take it seriously. It doesn't make sense. It's completely counterintuitive, especially in the world of career journalists working for the biggest newspapers and radio venues in America at the time, and then quickly reflected overseas. So what could have caused it? To backtrack slightly, as an investigator, one of my inspirations, some people may find kind of corny, it goes back to when I was probably 11 or 12 years old, and as a kid that loved movies, I enjoyed all of the old late 30s, early 40s, until about 44 or so, Sherlock Holmes, films that came out of the UK, starring the great British actor Basil Rathbone as Holmes, and as his Dr. Watson, a wonderful old character actor named Nigel Bruce. It got me to starting to read Arthur Conan Doyle's wonderful books on this great character that he invented named Sherlock Holmes, who was as everybody knows, a private detective who applied what he called deductive reasoning to problem solving. And one of the aspects of deductive reasoning that really appealed to me as a very nerdy, geeky kid was if you are confronted with a mystery, you don't begin by investigating the most exotic, otherworldly, sexy, and wild possibility. You begin by looking and investigating as fully as you can the most mundane, boring, very likely, everyday possibility. You give it a very fair shot. If it does not pan out, then you take one simple step up to the second most boring, mundane, this is probably it, explainable possibility. If you continue to work in that manner and you exhaust all of those conventional possibilities, then things begin to get interesting. And then you're involved in work that may actually lead you to some very exciting possible conclusions. It's time-consuming to do that. It can be incredibly boring, but that's the way I work. And I really tried to wrap my head around any possibilities that would let me understand why every journalist in America chose not to cover in a serious manner through the 40s, into the 50s, in good part into the 60s. In the 70s, we had, you know, a couple of television breakthroughs, but even they were hardly heavyweight. And, you know, here we are in this crazy world where now with the Internet, a lot of serious interest has grown up around this subject, but a lot of it pretty specious and uncorroborable and very far out. So, again, I was left with trying to think about, as a student of American history, America in 1947. We were, in fact, the country that many of us dream and wish we were now. We had helped make the world safe for democracy. Without our participation in World War II, we might be speaking German and Japanese now, as would a good part of the rest of the world. And this is the way it would have happened. We had the Marshall Plan in place, an absolutely radical idea where we were taking our money to help our enemies rebuild civil, peaceful societies. And if you look at the histories of Germany and Japan since World War II, in fact, it was a brilliant success, so much so that they have beat the pants off us in great part at different points over the decades in terms of economics and the like. But neither one of them has ever started a war or, you know, gone rogue or, you know, gone back to their militaristic roots. So we had the nuclear bomb. The summer of 1947 was the summer that the whole idea of containment, to use the phrase that was the one being used at the time and developed by a political scientist named George Kennan and published in an article, in fact, this month, 70 years ago, in a foreign affairs magazine called On Containment. It was Kennan who came up with the idea that the Soviets were obviously the next big threat. The Nazis, the militaristic Japanese were defeated. But Stalin and the Soviets wanted us dead, 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 as Robert De Niro says, wonderfully overacting in The Untouchables as Al Capone. And we took it seriously. And Kennan was the one who said, if we can contain the Soviets to the borders that they expanded to, into Eastern Europe and the like at the end of World War II, we may be able to avoid a hot or a shooting war and have a cold or a stalemate kind of war. The word Cold War emerged then and there. And I think it's interesting to note as a footnote here that the official beginnings of the Cold War per se date from the exact moment in history that the modern age of UFO sightings begins. I think that is a genuine coincidence and not some Machiavellian scheme or something, but that's my own opinion. And there was concern that panic might ensue if we felt, citizens of this country, that these UFOs, not called that, the flying saucers, flying discs, might be, you know, advanced Soviet technology. That would be very unnerving. We still see references back in some of those old documents to dear old Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater's production of War of the Worlds, which is still worth listening to. And the excuse that was trotted out regularly when it was necessary of the potential of panic, that people couldn't handle it. And one wonders about that now relative to disclosure. Most of us, and I say that to people in your audience that have studied the subject, taken it seriously, processed it for a long time, yeah, we're ready, we think, for the announcement to be made. Most of our brothers and sisters are not, and we represent a fairly modest percentage of people in the world. But I can only theorize, Gene, but I think it holds water, that several individuals close to Harry Truman, it might have included Vannevar Bush, probably the most extraordinarily interesting and influential individual that most Americans have never heard of. MJ-12 number one, President Roosevelt's technology and science advisor, who then went on to become President Truman's science and technology advisor, with credits that you wouldn't believe. If you go to a period copy of Who's Who from the late 40s, he fills up 2.5 pages of small print.
Let's continue, sir. Peter Robbins, Gene Steinberg, you're in
The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
If there's a toxic chemical, biological, gas smoke emergency while traveling at home or on your job, are you protected? Are you prepared? There are over 400,000 fires in the USA every year. Up to 85% of all deaths in a fire are due to smoke inhalation. 3 minutes without air and we as humans will die. Be prepared and escape safely with our Safe Escape smoke hoods, giving you up to 60 minutes of breathable air protection. Order yours online at ase-safety.com. That's ase-safety.com. And get up to 40% off plus free shipping.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Identity theft is going to ruin your life if you're not prepared. Hi, everyone. This is Paul with Liberty ID. Hey, millions of Americans fall victim every year. Odds are your identity has already been compromised, and alerts aren't going to save you. The solution is restoration, and the only company that provides a money-back guarantee is Liberty ID. Go to Liberty ID and use the promo code FREETRIAL for 60 days free. That's LibertyID.com, promo code FREETRIAL for 60 days free. Cancel at any time. Liberty ID is the industry leader in identity theft restoration, with a 100% success rate in restoring our subscribers' identities no matter how they're stolen. Liberty ID fixes the fallout for you. Liberty ID does the work, but you have to be prepared. Go to LibertyID.com, promo code free trial. LibertyID.com, LibertyID.com.
Would it be okay if you had two paychecks instead of one? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to get an extra paycheck every month, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
This is Micah Hanks of the Grayling Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, you're looking at these early figures connected with the Truman administration, who may have been part of this, and I'll use Major Kehoe's term, silence group. But do you believe there was an MJ-12 or that those documents were fake, even if maybe they had some resemblance to something factual?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. If you don't mind, let me get to that in about 2 minutes. I think that Bush would have been a likely candidate. I think that the man who was in the process of building our Defense Department after dismantling our old War Department at the request of President Truman, James Vincent Forrestal, might have been one of the individuals or might have been the person. I tend to feel that it was a man named Sidney Sowers, who was a ranking admiral during World War II and for the full Truman administration was Truman's number one intelligence advisor. He was also the first director of the CIA. And it might have gone as simple as this, that one of these individuals made an appointment to see somebody like David Sarnoff of NBC or William Randolph Hearst or whichever brother was in charge of the Copley Empire or whoever the owner of the Times was at the time. I can't remember if it was the Ox or Sulzberger. And at that meeting, it could have gone one of two ways, essentially saying, obviously, you're in a position to be very aware of all these reports coming in of this unusual aerial phenomena. You know, there really isn't anything to it. It's war jitters. People are jumpy. We've been testing some V-2 rockets, if you have to know. President, of course, understands that, you know, you'll keep this to yourself. And we are concerned about panic. We're dealing with a very touchy, complex moment in our relationship with the Soviets, and people at the highest levels would consider it a personal favor if you would instruct your editors to instruct your reporters to play this down in every way and, you know what, have a little fun with it. Or, possibly as likely, because these individuals who own these major media venues, they were all multimillionaires, the equivalent of billionaires now. They probably all thought of themselves as old-fashioned patriots, and very likely some of them were, that they might have been told a version of the truth. And it might have been saying the president or not naming the president in any way to preserve what we call plausible denial should the story blow up and become an embarrassment to the administration, that in fact there might be something to the possibility that these were not from here. And it was very important that the public absolutely not think that way. And then the pattern continued. Your question about MJ-12. In 1987, this story broke within the UFO research community. A few individuals had been brought into this subject a few years earlier, I think about 1984. But for most of us, it was brand new news and possibly a very exciting break that there had been this highly secret working group in the Truman administration that may well have gone on under the same name or different names and, you know, incarnated and still existed as far as being core secret keepers. Over the years since the initial 8-page so-called Eisenhower briefing document and the 1-page attachment, Truman's letter to Secretary Forrestal emerged that summer of 87, hundreds of other documents have surfaced alleging to also have been generated from this Majestic 12 working group. After my own independent study, reading everything that I could on it by people who are, I thought, in much more experienced scholars than I was, people like Stanton Friedman and the like, I came to feel, and I still feel, that initial release, those 9 pages, are in fact authentic. It sent me off on my own little quest, and maybe I have friends or colleagues out there who are old enough that they had similar experiences, to figure out for myself every way that I could if these 12 individuals would have been the people to choose, if they might have known each other, if they, you know, were high enough within their specialty areas of expertise, that they would have been the ones that the president would have chosen for this working group to study the situation and hopefully come to some decision about it. However, I have really mixed feelings about so much of the other material that's followed. Stanton Friedman has this wonderful phrase of things that he's not sure about going as gray box. I am convinced that there was a group called Majestic 12 that was set up under President Truman. Whether or not it has continued to follow a certain bloodline, so to say, and is still in existence, or, you know, was outdated some time back and its responsibilities taken over by various working groups within various agencies, is pure speculation. That much I do take seriously.
Now, you know, of course, that people like Kevin Randall, who spent a lot of time in the military and also spent 30 years studying Roswell, he looked very carefully at MJ-12 and said there are too many inconsistencies here, and other people agree. This doesn't mean there wasn't something there, but MJ-12 as a document could be disinformation to cloud what really went on.
Oh, you're absolutely right. It could be. However, somebody who I feel, again, is every bit as qualified to evaluate that information, who feels that on that initial group of documents, that initial document and the attached page, namely Stanton Friedman, says, no, there are too many consistencies to look at it as fraudulent. The material that followed is another question. But I would have to agree to disagree with my colleague Kevin on that and take the position that Stan has, I think, very well established in his writings and research about it. Who knows?
Sure. Looking over the way the publishers reacted, right after World War II, they were patriotic Americans. They believed what the government told them. So if they gave them the right story, I could see where it might happen. But I think today, if any recent administration had gone to, say, Jeff Zucker, the president of CNN, and said, hey, as a patriotic American, here's what's going on, and we'd rather you not make a big deal of it, that would probably be on CNN by Anderson Cooper the next evening.
Might well. Yeah, we live in a very different world now. It's almost charming to think that back in the day when John Kennedy was president and doing some major womanizing, in part at the White House, the press corps that were on to him, and there were certainly members, distinguished members of the press corps, who understood that he was involved with other women, worked to keep it secret, to protect the office of the president. And that time is long past. It's everybody for themselves now. And, you know, TMZ, and let's get that photo of, you know, this star with this politician or whatever. It's all about making money and sensationalism and a tabloid mindset. And our society is the worst for it, as far as I'm concerned.
So you think in this day and age, maybe a lot of choices people made in terms of who might become president would not have happened. Certainly what happened to Bill Clinton in the 90s, and he doesn't seem to have been near as big a player as JFK was.
Correct.
If we had the same sensibility in the 90s, you'd never hear from it. You never hear about it. Okay, whatever the person's doing, he's another adult. He carries on. Certainly Newt Gingrich, who was Speaker of the House, and he was one of the ringleaders of this impeachment. He was doing the same thing with his secretary.
Worse. When his wife got cancer, he was cheating on her with his next wife, and so on. The levels of hypocrisy on both sides of the aisle are legend at this point. And most of us have so had it up to here with all of these do-nothing characters in Washington who sit on their butts and collect their paychecks and refuse to even consider something that up until 15 years ago or so was the American way, which was find a point of compromise and work together, even if you are not in agreement, as opposed to, nope, real men don't compromise, my way or the highway, you know, I'll let the government go bust before I concede to my ideological enemy. Politics by politicians is now seen as more important than serving the needs and the needs of the constituents. And it's infuriating.
We've got more to come. Chris O'Brien is waiting for the internet to be turned on. We've got Peter Robbins and Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X-large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.